Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 113 for Thursday, October 25th, 2012. Welcome back yet again, and we got the whole crew back together for the first time in I don't know how long. I've given up trying to figure it out. It's been a long time, hadn't it, everybody? So let's just walk through for everybody new here. This is the Android Central Podcast, the greatest Android podcast in the world, if I do say so myself. I do. So, if you are new here, welcome. If you are in the chat room for the first time, welcome. Try not to step in anything. It can get a little crazy in there. If you're watching us live, hi, how's it going? I apologize for my appearance, but objects in this mirror are quite often weirder than they appear. And we've got, we've got the whole crew. I'm Phil Nickinson, editor of Android Central, but you know that already. We've got Jerry Hildenbrand from the site.
What's happening, people?
And who should we do next? Alex Dobie from England.
Hey, everyone.
Mickey Papillon, you know him as the cell phone junkie, has returned.
Hey, everybody. I'd like to change the introduction, though, because, you know, we always get Alex from England. How about we have Corey from Seattle, Mickey from where he's from, Jerry from where he's from.
Jerry's Jerry Hillebrand from the site.
Yeah, well, Jerry Hillebrand from the site. Yeah, that's where
but you're from the site, too.
That's true.
Mm. But he's also from England. England trumps everything. They have this huge navy. Just read it. It's in books. We'll talk after the show.
So we introduce everyone by size of navy, do we?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, can we get to me?
Corey Streeter from from the Seattle Android office, I guess. God, you love
the biggest mother navy.
Corey Streeter runs our forums.
Good to be back.
Badass. So, welcome back. We are at 113 episodes, by the way, and more than 2.5 million downloads, which, in the scheme of things, is pretty awesome. Because I still remember when Mickey and I started this ourselves, and, you know, neither one of us was a stranger to podcasts, but it was still, like, you know, a new show and a little weird and odd. And look how much it's grown. Now we have five of us, and none of us can shut up. And thank you all. I'm a little verklempt. Promised myself I wouldn't get a cry.
You know, it's interesting if you look back, what was that now? 2 years? 2.5 years?
It was like March 2010, yeah.
Yeah, 2.5 years, and, you know, we still don't know what we're talking about.
No, absolutely not.
Just 2.5 years later, and 2.5 million people later, we still don't know what it is.
So, for everybody listening, thank you guys. I know I said it on the site, and I said it in my column last week, but... Yeah, I mean, like, we don't get paid extra to do this. You know, we're not making money off it. We're not selling ads on it. So we do this because we love it and because it's a hell of a lot of fun and because, you know, Corey and Jerry need excuses to drink. And it gives us a chance to interact with everybody. So it's just a hell of a lot of fun. So thank you all for listening. And with that, we've got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about, boys and girls. It's exciting. I think we've moved out of the silly season, and I'm officially starting to get excited. Because we're, 72 hours away from a new Nexus. So Monday morning in New York City, I will be there. Google's inviting us back to the playground. And so we kind of know what's coming, though, don't we? It's not all that much of a surprise. So, Alex, you want to walk us through what we're expecting?
Sure, and there's a lot of stuff to go through. There's the worst-kept secret, which is the Nexus 4. We've seen that extensively leaked. It's a new Nexus phone from LG. We're also going to get a hell of a lot of new tablets, including new Nexus 7s. We're going to get a 3G version, we're pretty sure, and a 32 gig version, and a Nexus 10. That's less sort of extensively leaked, but pretty sure that's coming as well. That's a new super high-res tablet from Samsung. So all three pretty exciting new devices, I think, and probably at least a couple of them are going to be running a new version of Android, we're pretty sure, Android 4.2. So a lot of new stuff. I think going to be an exciting week.
Jerry, what are you most excited for?
The newest version of Android.
Yeah.
Hardware is hardware. Yeah, I'd love to get a new Nexus in my hand. Been antsy for one in the past month or two. But I'm a software guy. I want to get the source code. I want to look at it. I want to see what it'll do. I want to try to break it.
Now, Mickey, you kind of bounce back and forth between Android and everything else. You've seen all the leaks of the phone. You've seen, you know, some of the leaks of the tablet, I guess. There's not a whole lot out there. They've kept that one kind of secret. And then we have 4.2, which is, you know, software. And it's going to be more interesting or less interesting, depending on what it is and how behind-the-scenes stuff it is. Is the phone piquing your interest at all?
It is, and really for one reason, and that's the camera. You know, we finally are talking about a Nexus with a decent camera on it, and I would love to see it blown away. You know, I think 8 megapixel is what we're going to get, but I would love to see it even higher. I don't know. It's one of those features about the you know, Galaxy Nexus that just continually bugged me. I mean, I could get by with, you know, I'll just say a mediocre design, right? Because compared to like the Galaxy S3, it's right. You know, it just, you know. But the camera, I couldn't get over it. And so that's actually probably the most exciting thing for me about this. Obviously, I'm looking for some performance and improvements and whatnot. And I'm all in with Verizon now, so I really hope they get something out for Verizon. And I'm not sure if I'm going to be in luck. So I may, again, be on a T-Mobile prepaid plan if I have to pick up one that's unlocked GSM.
We'll talk about Verizon.
Yeah, I would say adjust your expectations, Mickey.
Yeah.
Well, just on the camera front, at least. Yeah.
That too.
All right. Yeah, I mean, the Nexus line's always been about compromises, and I think the camera on this one is going to be a big compromise from what we've heard and from what we've seen posted. The camera module, essentially, from what we can see, is the same as what it is on the Optimus G. Whichever one has the 8 meg version. There are a couple of versions of it, right? There's a 13 meg.
Yeah, there's an 8 meg. The 13, and even the 13 hasn't been all that impressive. It's just
LG cameras in general aren't.
I think the 8's better, in my opinion.
Yeah, it might be, and I haven't used.
Well, it's more than megapixels, right? It's the lens, sure. The optics.
Yeah,
I mean, it's going to be better than the Galaxy Nexus. I think we'll give it that. As for anything on Verizon that has Nexus in the name, I think that's probably long gone. That any chance of seeing that.
It's got to have a button.
It's
on
just
the
not happening.
Verizon, turn it on.
Oh my God! Did you guys see what Alex did today? So the Galaxy Note 2 on Verizon is just going to have this ridiculous Verizon button on, or Verizon logo on the little home button down here, right? It's nuts. This is the T-Mobile one. And so Alex photoshopped the Verizon logo into like a Nexus home button, you know, on the screen. That was so wrong.
What are they doing?
Corey, what have you been hearing in the forums? And I've been ducking in there every now and then, just seeing what's going on. I mean, people are pretty upset about this supposed battery, right? 2,500 milliamp hours. You know, not the largest thing in the world, especially when you look at the Note 2 and it's got 3,100 milliamp hours. But this is also larger than what we're expecting from the new Nexus.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 2,100, and that's still pretty big for a battery. Remember, the Galaxy S3 has 2,100, and that's pretty good. 21, yeah, it has pretty good battery life. So I think we just have to wait until we get this on our hands and start to play with it. The other side of that is you've got all this new software stuff and new kernel that's in there, which Jerry knows a lot more about than I do, but that's all about power management and actual stuff that links in with the hardware. So that should give a little bit better performance as well.
People haven't really been complaining too much about the batteries so much. One thing that I've observed is there seems to be a lot less excitement about the Nexus 4 than the Galaxy Nexus last year.
It's all been leaked. It's all been leaked, that's why.
Yeah. Come Monday, you know, it'll be nuts again.
Maybe. I mean, even leading up to the Galaxy Nexus last year, though, before the announcement, there was a lot of excitement. Although, you know, I'm a Verizon guy, so that could be why, too. I noticed more of that.
I agree with Alex. Verizon's, I don't see that happening, at least not at first, not at launch. No. Certainly not at launch. No. They're not going to hold up the rest of the United States for Verizon ever again.
No. I think if we, like LTE versions, Sprint's probably a good bet. Maybe AT&T eventually, but it's going to be HSPA unlocks at first, I think, on the Play Store.
Jerry, do you think we're going to see LTE? Because we've talked about that before, kind of leading up to all this.
You know what? Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see, and I'll use Verizon specifically, a LG Droid something that's a Google Experience device like the original Droid was. Mm-hmm. I'm going to call it tonight, and that's what I think we're going to see. If you would take the name Nexus off the Verizon LTE Galaxy Nexus,
right,
nobody would have anything to complain about.
Yeah, if it was the Droid Prime, Google, people would be quite happy with it.
It takes a little bit longer. It's unlocked. People loved it, just like the original Droid, and I'll bet that's what we see.
I won't argue against that. It'd be good to see.
I think for anyone that's interested, which maybe isn't many people, but in Europe, LTE is a bit of a different ballgame. There are three frequencies that are used, and there's no real technical reason why in a few months you couldn't get an unlocked European LTE version of this thing. So there's that.
I wonder how.
I mean, you can buy unlocked LTE Euro Samsung phones right now.
True.
Well, see, the difference here is I don't think Verizon and, well, maybe not so much Sprint, I don't think Verizon wants another Nexus phone. Turned out to be a bigger pain in the ass than they wanted to deal with, I think.
It could be.
Well, yeah. Touché, well, they've got plenty of other stuff, haven't they?
Imagine what Google was going through with them.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it works both ways. But there is a compromise, and that's the Droid or the Zoom. Those both worked out well for both sides. I know that LTE Zoom is still waiting for stuff. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You're going to get it. It takes longer because it just takes longer to make LTE work, especially for Google, who is not they're not a manufacturing company. They don't build software radios. You know, Verizon, Motorola, and Google are all together. I can imagine them all in rooms full of beer or whatever working on it.
Yeah.
And that's better than either alternative, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Yeah, we'll see. I think it'll be next year before we get anything that's like this with LTE.
I agree. We're not going to see that Monday. I didn't want to give anybody that impression.
No. Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just Jerry. I don't build these phones. I'm just guessing. So we may not ever see it. But I can wish, right?
I think in a year's time, eventually there's going to have to be an unlocked Nexus phone with LTE. Eventually, even if it's not US-centric, it's going to have to happen eventually. If not this year, then next year.
Yeah. 10-inch tablet. Anybody excited for that? I mean, I'm kind of... I don't know why I feel like I'm over 10-inch tablets. I love the 7-inch size of the Nexus 7. And if you can see mine here, mine is... I've got one of the white ones from Google I.O. And I've collected all sorts of black gunk on it from the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, mine too.
It's pretty bad. I mean, are you guys excited about it at all?
I'm kind of excited just because we don't know what it is. It's the one thing that is kind of a mystery at this event. From what we've heard, the big thing is going to be the screen, the CPU. Mm-hmm. The screen is, I think it's 2560 by 1600 or something like that. So it's really high res. Pixel density actually beats the third and fourth gen iPad. So I think that's going to be interesting to see.
I want to see how... applications and the UI handles that pixel density, because unless you do something different, everything's going to be super tiny.
Mm.
And that's not what they're going to do.
As long as I can watch a movie on it, it looks great.
Right.
That's all I really care about.
I think it'll look the same size as the Zoom, but the DPI setting will just be increased.
That's what I'm curious to see about it.
But I'm sure it'll look awesome, whatever happens.
So I never, ever wanted a tablet. Like, I didn't get them. I didn't understand why anyone would want one. Like, why not go pick up your laptop or go to your computer or whatever? But that 7-inch size is just, like, perfect for me. It's easy to hold, and I just use it to watch movies and surf the web a little bit. But read books, Audible, oh, man, I love it. Best thing ever.
I don't disagree. I'm real, real interested to try the iPad mini, and I don't want to talk too much about it. But I'm real interested to try that slightly larger size and see. And it's not that we haven't seen slightly larger tablets before, because Samsung's, you know, having with the 8.9. And I liked the 8.9 back then. But I'm real curious to try something that's a little bit bigger and that much thinner. I don't know. I mean, I like the Nexus 7. I like it a lot. I caught a little crap on Google Plus the other day for talking about build quality, but I'm willing to bet people are right in that build quality has gotten better since these initial Google I.O. ones. In fact, I was in a store playing with one today. But yeah, I mean, so much thinner. I don't know. I have absolutely no problem with this. I guess let's talk for a minute about the Apple event this week. So Phil Schiller, you know, Apple's marketing guru, gets out there and he doesn't actually call this by name. He does not say the word Nexus. He does not say Nexus 7. Mm. He does not say Google.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
He did say Android. You know, so one of the things he's talking about is the bezel, and look how thick that bezel is. And it's like, okay, well, I mean, I have zero problem with the bezel. Right, my thumb fits on the bezel.
Oh, the iPad has a massive bezel.
Well, yeah, and the iPad does, but not the iPad Mini.
Yeah.
So, I will say, I think the apps that he called out, One was Yelp. One was eBay. I forget the other ones. He called out some apps and said, look, these apps look like crap in landscape mode, right? Or even a couple of them in portrait. And said, you know, these look like phone apps on a tablet. And you know what? He was right.
There's discussion in our forums. He cherry-picked those before they were updated. They all three have been updated since and look great.
No, they haven't.
That's what they're saying in our forums.
I went and looked. I rewatched the Apple keynote a couple times now. And actually, I went and downloaded those apps and tried them. And what they showed is accurate. They don't look quite as bad. I think part of it as well is kind of the angle they were showing. They weren't showing it straight on. They were showing it at a slight angle. So it makes it look even longer of a distance than it really is. Not a lot, but...
I mean, you don't go into an Apple presentation expecting a fair comparison.
No, absolutely not.
Tablets. I mean, the interesting thing is that they actually cherry-picked the Nexus, didn't they? Not any of the Amazon tablets.
Right.
And it was they gave it a lot of stage time, but on the other side, they didn't promote it because they didn't mention the name, but... The Nexus and the Nexus image, the Nexus home screen was on screen for a good few minutes at this Apple event.
And anyone who was surprised at this just needs to go back in their hole, because Apple's been doing this for years. I dug up an old post I wrote at now WP Central, back when we were WM Experts, in 2009, when Schiller called out, he was calling out, I think it was number of apps, and they said, like, hey, Windows Mobile has none, or has like four apps. And they're like, what the hell are you talking about? There were thousands of apps for Windows Mobile back then. There was no app store, was the difference. You know, no official app store. And and even then, they called out Palm. You know, WebOS has eight apps. Well, the store is like 2 days old, dude. Relax. So, I mean, it's gamesmanship. It's Apple. That's the way they do things, right?
Well, that's why they say tablet-optimized apps, because there's 675,000 tablet apps on Android.
Exactly. You know, and that's the other thing. And... you know, it's not like Apple is immune here. You know, there are so many apps. I've got iPads here. I've got, and I like installing kind of my usual suite of apps, you know, all the travel apps I use, and some of the same games. I try not to buy stuff over and over again if I can help it. But all the apps that aren't tablet apps, you know, and you have to hit the little 2X button to scale them up, they look horrible. They look like crap. And a lot of them haven't been touched. Now, that's, you know, a knock on the developers, not the hardware. But, you know, the point is, don't worry too much about what Phil Schiller at Apple says. I mean, the Nexus 7 is still a really good tablet. You know, if you want to knock on them for anything, knock them on these pogo pins that we talked about, was it last week or the week before, that, you know, are still unused. You know, things like that. But, you know, bezel, whatever. If you're buying a tablet because the bezel's thinner, you need more to do. It's not nearly that big an issue. You know, it was interesting seeing the screen real estate, and I liked how he called, you know, the Chrome all that noise. Yeah, you know, that was, you know, funny, but whatever. It's, you know, the Nexus 7 is a great tablet to navigate on, you know, to browse on. I still think Safari on the iPad's a little better. It's just smoother. But, you know, I use the Nexus 7 for internet all the time. So, dude needs to chill. Don't worry about it. If you have a Nexus 7, you feel good about yourself. Unless you just bought an 8 gigabyte or a 16 gigabyte. <'Cause>...
Oh, now. We're going to sound like the other camp here. my wife bought a new car last year, and 3 months later, they brought a car out with more options than hers. Yeah, that's just the way things work.
I might or might not be causing trouble here, by the way.
Yes, you are.
I'm just saying. No, I mean, that's the way it is. Look, if you just bought an 8 or a 16 like last week, I don't know what to say, because it's not like we haven't said the 32 gigabytes not coming.
And if you just bought it last week, take the damn thing back and wait till Monday. And the same goes for people in the Apple camp. You know what? If you bought your iPad third generation or whatever the hell they call it now, and you like it, it didn't turn into a piece of crap because they invented a better one. Stuff
it is kind
better.
Of annoying, though, when a few weeks later something else comes off that's better.
Well, sure. Sasha Sagan from Snapback did a really good post on all this and basically said, quit your bitching and man up. I mean, this is the way it works. You do not have a bad tablet. You know, you're not owed anything. You know, God forbid, don't start a petition, please. That's all I'm saying.
And if you do,
oh, you know this one already.
Feel about it.
Yeah, don't email it to me. No, I mean, it'll be good to see a 32 gigabyte, and we know they're out there. Staples has been selling them for a week now, yep. Whatever. But, you know, these aren't the be-all, end-alls of Nexus 7s. I mean, it's just, it's another SKU. It's not like it's the first time that's happened, so... Android 4.2, I mean, we've talked about it before. Again, I'm excited for it because it's new. Jerry, we think it's going to be a lot of kind of behind-the-scenes stuff again, right?
I'm hoping so, yeah. I think they're going to finish a lot of the stuff they started behind the scenes going as back as far as Honeycomb. Mm-hmm. There's a lot there unfinished, and it's about time to get some of it wrapped up.
Right. So, that's coming Monday.
We're also getting a lot of stuff that's probably going to be rolled out to the Play Store, probably for but older versions of Android as well.
Is that great?
Yes.
I was so happy when I saw the Jelly Bean calendar go to the Play Store.
Yeah.
That means if you've got a Galaxy S3 and you don't have stock Jelly Bean on it, but you still want that new calendar, go download it. That's great. That's the way it should be.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, so...
GS3 with CM on it is so nice because I've been using the Galaxy Note 2 for a week now, and you know I've got it in one pocket and the GS3 stock in the other. It's just like, oh, I don't touch Wiz. No. Anyway, sorry.
I think it's just a case of stock Android now. So the official stock Android device, the Galaxy Nexus, is coming up to a year old, and the minute you get vanilla Android on anything that's modern hardware, it just seems so much faster just because the technology's moved on so much. So I think next week it's going to be a big difference looking at the Nexus 4 with that, a generation on from that, and a new version of Android as well.
Mickey, are you buying one?
Am I buying what?
are you buying a Nexus 4? Are you going to get one?
Are you just faded out? Say that one more time.
Are you going to get a Nexus 4? If it's announced on Monday?
Oh, Nexus 4. Yeah. Probably. You know, and the thing is, and this is where I'm having actually a hard time right now, because I'm kind of, you know, you're part of my problem, that you do these reviews that kind of...
I say that all the time.
Say, okay, maybe the Note is interesting, you know, and it includes all these great things and a stylus and, you know, would potentially be a big shift. But I think I'm going to hold out and see what the you know, what the Nexus has to offer here, what the pricing is, what kind of options they're offering as far as carrier support and such, and then make that decision. Because I don't know. I'm kind of in a toss-up between the two right now, and I feel like before the end of the year, I'm going to have one of the two of them. I'm just not sure which one.
Do you guys want to talk about the Note 2 for a minute? Because I've got one here. Alex has used one.
Sure.
It's nice. Yeah. It's big. It's here it is next to a Galaxy S3.
Tell Corey he ought to buy one as soon as they come out on Verizon. I've been telling him for a week that he'll love it.
It looks like a waffle. That thing's huge.
It
does.
It's big. I mean, it's not bad because it's that big. Like the size, I don't think detracts from it anymore. The size is what it is. It doesn't make it run any worse. It doesn't make the display worse. It doesn't make it slower. It's just big. So I think if it's too big for you, it's too big for you. I tell you, I had to force myself to actually use the stylus as I was reviewing it. The stylus actually has gotten a lot better than the last version because it's thicker, so it's easier to hold. But like I found myself just using it like I would a normal phone. It just happens to be a hell of a lot bigger.
And that was the same with the original, right? You would find yourself just day-to-day stuff.
Yeah.
You wouldn't really need to get the stylus out, and the stylus would be really good at a few things, but you know, maybe you'd use it for a few minutes every day.
It's like a bigger Galaxy S3 is what it is, with all this cool Wacom Note stylus stuff. S Pen, excuse me.
Are you noticing the difference in sort of dimensions and size from the original Note, Phil? I know it's been a while since you used one.
It's been a long time since I used it, and I've been using the Galaxy S3 so much that it really just feels like a bigger Galaxy S3 to me. So now I can't really compare that anymore.
I think you notice that if you come from an original Note, you notice the difference in width, the way it's gone from, I think it was a 16 by 10 to 16 by 9 now, and they got rid of a lot of the bezel too. So
here it is. I think next to the Nexus 7, if you're curious.
Yeah,
so that's, you know, 5.5 to 7.
Yeah, you might as well just pull out the Nexus 7.
Almost, yeah.
That's your next step.
Almost.
It looks pretty small compared to the 7.
Yeah. Anyway, they are becoming available, you know, all the time now. So T-Mobile's available, Sprint's available today. AT&T is coming the 9th. Verizon is up for pre-order now. It looks like it should be available at the end of November, probably. That's still unofficial, but it's looking like the 29th. So you got a while to hate on that home button. You know, I'm just going to say it. Verizon, that's ridiculous. It's dumb. It looks horrible. Yeah, actually, you know what I think it is? I think it's retribution for the Galaxy S3 having no branding on the front is what I think it is. They said, all right.
But it, I mean, it's not just a point of making the phone ugly. It actually, it's the fact that it's the button is now the Verizon button is going to be confusing to people. And it's not going to be a home button. It's going to be a Verizon button, and people aren't going to know what to do with it.
Hmm. Oh, my God. Does it open up Bing and all kinds of stuff?
Well, yeah, exactly. Oh, gosh, I hope so. That was kick ass.
God, don't start that rumor. Oh.
Corey Streeter said on the Android Central podcast that it opens Bing.
I don't know.
Oh my God, that would be awesome. It's like 2010 all over again. Oh.
Somebody there has to make a mod that does that.
We should totally do it. I'll slip it. I'll slip it as like an Easter egg in the review or something. Oh man, I'm sorry. I'm just sitting here remembering back to the Fascinate nights when we were all sitting up till 1 a.m. rooting this thing and trying to get rid of all that crap. Oh, okay. I'm done. I'm out of it. You want to talk about the little HTC leak we got?
Sure. The DNA.
So go back. I mean, a 5-inch phone has been rumored for a long time, right? And there was an early picture that leaked out of what looked like FCC testing or something. I mean, who knows where. And it was a big kind of reddish HTC phone, and it just said HTC on the front. So, you know, and I've been in these NDA meetings and stuff and all that frequencies things, and nobody would say a word about a 5-inch phone, which kind of leads you to believe it's true. Like, anytime anyone, and not just me, but anyone bring it up, they're like, hey, yeah, that'd be nice. And that'd be the end of the discussion. Which, you know, I suppose I can say when things don't happen, right? Late Sunday night? We got sent some pictures of this big phone, codenamed DLX. We'd heard the DLX before. I think EV Leaks had put that name out, or Football put it out too. So Verizon HTC DLX, and then now it looks like it's going to be called the Droid DNA. What do you guys think of that name, Corey?
Oh, I think it's dumb.
Has there look? Everybody loves to hate on names, especially after you hear the code name, and it's like, that code name's pretty cool. Why are we going to some lame official name now? But then it grows on us, and it happens every single time. You're like, I used to hate that
name. We just think how what a dumb name Galaxy Nexus is.
Yeah.
And we got used to that.
Exactly.
DNA, now, though?
I mean, that's
well,
not...
they're going with the same kind of bionic thing, aren't they? With the,
right.
You know, kind of...
And I see, you know, I see some great commercials, and I see some great marketing with this thing, right? I mean, it totally fits. Definitely. I get it. But I'm just glad it's not the DIX or the DIX or whatever, because the kids are going to have too much. I mean, no. That was never going to happen. Verizon will do some weird things, but they weren't going to do that.
I think of a crime scene when I hear DNA.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, all I know is they passed on Jay Butterfly, and that's just a huge fail because that should have been its name.
So that was the other thing, actually, and we talked about it in the podcast last week, was, you know, they've got this 5-inch phone, and this is what it is. This is the Butterfly for Verizon that it's launching in Japan. I can't wait to see an LCD screen that's that big. I mean, with as good as it's been on the 1X, you know, going just a little bit bigger, it's going to be really, really interesting. Now, remember, this is all unofficial. You know, supposedly still launching sometime around Thanksgiving. We got the Verizon map listing the minimum advertised price. When did we get that? Today? Yesterday? Yesterday.
Yesterday. You
know, and so those things always have time periods, and it starts on November 20th and runs through like May or something like that. So it doesn't mean it's going to launch on the 20th. It could, but doesn't mean it will be. So remember the note too on that map list, you know, the start date was yesterday. Yesterday, and then, you know, late last night we get word that it's up for pre-order, so it's not like you can get it yet. So, chat room genius! We're going to start calling Jerry J. Butterfly.
So you're choosing between TouchWiz on a 5-inch device,
yes,
and
or since?
Well, we should probably mention the Note is quite a bit bigger. Note's 5.5, and that makes a big difference. It's definitely pushing for more of a tablet market than a phone market, and you've got the pen input on the Note too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is more... It from the pictures we got, it looks more like the same vein as the 8X, as the Windows Phone stuff. And I tell you, I mean... I can't wait for... And you guys all need to go to a store and try HTC's Windows Phone phones. Devices. I kind of hate
them. They're nice.
Yeah, Alex has used one. I mean, they really are that nice, hardware-wise. So I can't wait.
But Microsoft is so hard to wash off your hands.
I know. I'm sorry. No, it'll be interesting to see. How far along it is in testing, I don't know. So, but it's coming. Oh, I'm kind of excited for that, actually. Trust me, this is good hardware. This is the one. You know what? I was confusing the battery stuff earlier, wasn't I, with the Droid 4. So this is the one that has the supposedly a 2,500 milliamp hour battery with a 5-inch display. And people are kind of freaking out about that. So I had Alex write something. I mean, if you remember the size, you know, that's really not that bad for the size of the screen, the size of the phone. I mean, yeah, we'd all like, you know, 3,000 milliamp hour batteries and everything. But it's not going to happen with every piece of hardware.
Yeah, I remember we had a 2,500 milliamp hour thing powering the original Note last year, and that managed just fine.
Right. And God forbid we actually, like, you know, wait for the thing to be announced and use it before we freak out.
That's the deal. If the battery lasts, we're good to go. Yeah, if it doesn't, then express your displeasure at every opportunity so that they don't do it again.
But let's wait and actually see it first.
You got to look at the Japanese version, we're pretty sure, has a smaller battery. It has 2020 or something. So obviously Verizon's looked at that, or there have been some options on the table with HTC, and they've said, right, we're going to go with the one that's slightly thicker with a bigger battery. So they've made the choice of the two to go for one that's going to have better battery life rather than just having the absolute thinnest phone possible, which is probably a good decision.
Well, and the processor, the S4 Pro and the Optimus G, I'm convinced the Optimus G on Sprint has a bug and it's wake locked 100% of the time.
Oh, yeah.
Would be the first phone that Sprint's telephony processes have locked up. And it'll quickly get fixed, probably before it gets released. But I'm convinced that it's awake 100% of the time and it's not a display bug. I'm still getting 6 hours of screen time and 25 hours of battery life out of this thing with it, the processor awake all the time. That's, you know, like three times what you're getting out of anything else out there. So let's give it a shot before we, you know, just kill it off.
Okay. You say so. And I agree.
Hey, I'm just saying what I see there, Uncle Phil.
No. And I agree. What else? SwiftKey Flow was announced today. Alex has played with this a little more than I have.
Very cool.
Really nice, isn't it?
It is very nice, and it's very fast. And if you watch the video, that's basically how it works in real life. That isn't some kind of you know, video trickery. That is just the app in action. It's SwiftKey. It's all the prediction stuff that you know and love from SwiftKey. But they've added trace kind of input into that as well. And the trace input... works a bit differently to swipe. It doesn't take you don't draw a pattern and then it analyzes that. It actually looks at what you're drawing as you're drawing it and comes up with predictions on the fly. And that essentially means it is very, very fast. And of course, you get all the personalization stuff in there as well.
I can't wait to try it.
You can shut it off though, right?
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of which. If you haven't seen, and Alex did a post a while back, but the Galaxy Note 2 has actually taken advantage of the SwiftKey SDK that was announced back in February at Mobile World Congress, and so that's what's built into that. So it's Samsung's UI on the keyboard, you know, it's the keyboard skin from Samsung, and it's actually pretty good. It's kind of a mix between that and stock SwiftKey, but they're using SwiftKey's prediction and trace as well, I think.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say the SwiftKey stuff that I saw was a little bit further along than what's on the Note, but you'd expect that because it's
you've got
a couple more elements behind
it. Absolutely, yeah. So that's coming out sometime next month probably. Do not know yet if it's going to be an upgrade or if you're going to have to buy it new. I asked, and honestly, I just don't think they know yet.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I asked and they seemed to think it would be, but maybe that's not quite set in stone.
Yeah, right. No, and that was kind of the deal. I think they're pushing for that. But, I mean, it could go either way at this point. So I'm hoping it's going to be an upgrade. I really do.
To be honest, I'm not going to lose any sleep over paying another $5 for this feature.
Yeah. I think so. We need to be a little more willing to open our wallets for good stuff, I think. And you know, that kind of goes back to what we were talking about with the Apple and the apps that, you know, can look a little better. You know, I don't mind paying for good things, and you shouldn't either, because what I say goes, damn it. Flip table. Drop mic. Optimus 2X source code got released. That's a big deal, Jerry, but why?
Well, first off, it means that LG must be serious that they're going to upgrade that phone to Ice Cream Sandwich,
right,
or they would have never done it. And anybody that has an Optimus 2X or a G2X, chances are by now you've rooted it and you're running something else. And this means that whatever you're running is going to get better, because we haven't had correct source code for that thing for ages.
Right.
It also shows that maybe somebody kind of pushed LG and told them you have to start, you know, taking these open source licenses a little bit more seriously. Mm-hmm. I had a discussion with somebody last night. If you remember, once upon a time, Samsung was notorious for never releasing source code.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, a company named Google came into the picture and partnered with them. And now their source code's out the day before or the day of release. So hopefully that's a, you know, we're going to see the same thing here. And to me, both are exciting prospects.
It's such a shame with the 2X as well, because if you look at the hardware inside that thing, it's good, solid hardware. And technically, there's no reason why that thing shouldn't be running Jelly Bean right now. I know that there's all the certification stuff and all the LG customization needs to go on top of it, but it's a Tegra 2 in there. It's perfectly capable of being up to date and running modern versions of Android. It's just lagged behind up until now.
Yep. Yeah, and LG is really going to push, I think, to get their new UI on as many phones as they possibly can. I mean, you're going to see it on, and they told us you're going to see it on things like the original Vue. And
it's already on the original Vue.
Is it already on there? Yeah, and you know, the 4X and all that. So, I mean, they're going to spread that as far as they possibly can. Although Jerry's line in the Sprint Optimus G review, I thought was genius. You know, maybe a tad harsh. What was it, Jerry? It was the hardware is designed by
the Bauhaus
School. Bauhaus School, and the software was designed by preschool. Now, look, I got to meet the people who worked on the software and designed it. So, you know, when I think back to that meeting and think to what you said, that might sound a little harsh, but I don't necessarily disagree. I mean, the folder scheme is just so unsophisticated compared to Google's or HTC's or even Samsung's. I mean, they've done some cool things with it. I mean, you can change the color and you can scroll within the folders, and that's interesting, but they just look horrible. And you're
agreed.
I think you've got to remember where LG came from, though, last year. Remember that gingerbread skin, but just how slow and crappy that was. And to go from that to something that actually, it looks a bit weird and it's all over the place visually, but it's actually, it doesn't look horrible. It's a bit chaotic, but it's fast, it's usable, and it's nowhere near as bad as it was before.
And this goes back to, I think, aesthetic preferences a little bit. And I've talked about it before. Like, is that something that's a little more accepting in Asian smartphone design than it would be in the States, you know, or in the West? I'm not sure. And I've got a lot of questions for people. You know, I asked that question of HTC at that last round of meetings, and forgetting that while it's a Taiwanese company, it's very much, you know, U.S. design. So it's not nearly the same sort of difference that you get. So I don't know. Mickey, have you gotten to play with any of the Optimus phones yet? Any of the new ones?
Not yet. I should have one from Sprint here, hopefully very soon, because I would like to check that one out for sure. Because I think there's... You know, it's interesting to hear so much of the, you know, what's been happening over the last couple of months, especially with LG and really trying to make this big push back. And obviously, I think the Nexus is going to be big for them, especially in the Android, the Fanatic community, because it feels like pretty much all Samsung at this point. And I'm starting to kind of wonder where the competition is going to be, because certainly the Motorola stuff with Droid and Verizon is good, but it's, I don't know, it's just the lack of competition, I think, is it doesn't, I don't know, it's not sitting well with me right now. For you kind of like, you wait to see who's going to kind of come out on top, and you know, obviously we know Samsung, HTC, Motorola is a kind of a trifecta of what's out there, but then you know, LG makes some good products too, so you know, I haven't seen much from LG in a while, or at least in trying out their products. And so I'm interested to do that, because I'm, like I said, it's been a while. I miss them.
Well, I will go on record. The hardware, the build quality, the design and the style of this Optimus G is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Something I never would have expected to see from LG, whose past designs, I think they've been built great, but they're more, you look a little more utilitarian than any real design.
Right.
And I think that's what shocked me so much with the software on it, because it's the opposite.
I really, really can't wait to see how the back of this new Nexus looks with the crystal reflection process done up in the style of the original Nexus One wallpaper. I mean, that just...
That's going to be pretty cool.
Just the leaks. Oh, yeah, I get tingly. I'm excited.
I wasn't really that excited about this phone podcast, and now I'm kind of getting mad that I'm not going to get one.
Well, maybe Santa will come this year, Corey.
Yeah.
We'll see. Maybe. If you've been a good boy this year, you know, upgrading our forums and others, and keep up the good work. Yeah, no, I mean, I know what you mean, though. Verizon, it's, yeah. Droid Razer HD and Razer Max HD are out. They're, you know, they look really good. I'm kind of not excited about them for some reason, though. Like, it's not that they're bad phones, because everyone who's touched one, you know, battery life, but there's too much.
They don't bring anything new to the table.
I know.
Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, the Motorola is in such a weird place with software right now. They're under pressure from Google to keep it close to stock, and under pressure for Verizon to keep it unique. And what the result is, something that looks different but doesn't do anything differently from stock. You look at TouchWiz and Sense, and for all their faults, they got new and pretty interesting apps in there. You've got all the Beats stuff in HTC's skin. You've got, you know, all the features that are buried behind all the menus in TouchWiz, the whole new video editor and all the rest of that stuff. With Motorola, it doesn't do anything much more than stock. And the only app from using a Razer Eye that I've really been able to tell that's different is the Smart Action stuff. And the rest is just stock apps with different icons.
Yeah.
And that's not very interesting.
And we've talked about it before, and I think, I forget, God, I'm sorry, I love giving sites credit, and I just forget who did the post last week. But somebody got Motorola to say, hey, you know, it's still going to be a while before you see the Google influence over here, and you might not see it at all. Yeah. So, you know, nothing we haven't known for a long time. But, yeah, this stuff takes a while.
I don't think that's disappointing.
What do you mean?
What's disappointing is that, you know, a pure Android experience from Google isn't available to everybody. That's disappointing. But we need Motorola to be separate and innovate on a separate path than Google does, because the more people working on it, you steal a little bit good here, you steal a little bit good there, and you make something that's great.
But I think the problem with what they've got right now is they're not really doing anything new. The software,
right?
Yeah, functionally is very, very similar to stock. It just looks different, and the apps that are there don't really do anything different.
You know, I like the M or the Razer Eye. I mean, the size difference, that's nice. I like they change things up a little bit. But then when you turn it on, it's a Droid Razer.
Right.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah, no, the Andrew Vaca had the M with him in San Diego, and I got to play with it finally. And it's a nice phone. It's not edge-to-edge like they were calling it. But, yeah, I mean, it's like, okay. I mean, and after 5 minutes, you're just like, all right, cool. I mean, it's very meat and potatoes. If you've got one, it's still good, right? Not a...
Without having touched it, I would still be willing to bet that probably the Droid Razer Max HD is the best phone on Verizon right now.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. I was going to say the build quality looks a little bit better on the Max and the HD.
I'm on Verizon, and the Galaxy S3 is.
You know, but everybody has their own preferences. I'm just saying that, in my opinion, knowing what I know from the past, I think that you can't go wrong picking one up. It's going to last you all day. It's going to work every time you need to make a call, which is what we want these phones for.
Yep. Yep. All right, well, let's move on, do some emails and voicemails. We'll get out of here and maybe do one last trip around the Nexus room and see what we expect. You want to do emails or voicemails first? Somebody pick.
Let's switch it up to emails first.
Okay. Alex writes, how likely do you think it is Google will release their new Nexus like they did the Nexus S? Do you think they will initially only release a GSM version for the world and then release an LTE version here in the States, but be exclusive to Sprint like they did with the Nexus S? We already kind of talked about that. I want to flip that over a little bit. Do you think it's going to be available first thing? Do you think we're going to be able to order them Monday, get them Tuesday, or maybe Wednesday?
Yep.
Yep.
I have got your credit card into my Gmail account. Yes, ready for when they go live, Bill.
That is Alex.
I think we will. We got a leak today, which is from Car Phone Warehouse in the UK, with a shipping date of the 30th. So I think that's a pretty good sign that it's going to be, they're going to have these ready to go, whether it's on the Play Store or whether it's from retailers in other countries.
Do you think I'm going to be able to walk out with one on Monday?
I
think so, yeah.
God, I hope so.
And then I hope your plane gets grounded and you have to land at Dulles.
I'm staying Monday night just so I've got all day in case we get one. And there's that T-Mobile thing Monday night. So, Mickey, what do you think? Are we going to get one first thing?
I don't know about that. Oh. I would love to think so, but I don't know. I know they do it. They're gonna have this thing out hopefully very soon, but I don't know. I don't know about if it's going to be that quick.
I think now they've got the Play Store in full swing, the device side of that is up and running. I think they're going to be trying very hard to make it.
Yes.
If it's not there immediately, then certainly within a matter of days, they're going to be shipping these things.
I agree.
Agreed. You know, I honestly don't think that when the event's done, it's going to be on sale. But I'll bet it's like the Chromebook. It's going to be a Wednesday morning available. But who knows?
Pre-order now and then get it shipped.
Nexus 7 was up for pre-order during the keynote at Google I.O. Just saying. Because I ordered a couple. And then went back to work. I think we're going to see him. I think we're going to see him up for order that day and get him either Tuesday or Wednesday.
Dude, I'm serious. I've got your company credit card already.
Good.
You just say the word and I'll order hundreds of them.
You have the word now.
Woohoo! You heard it, folks. I'm ordering 104 party at Jerry's.
Don't worry, everybody out there. We'll order a couple for you guys, too. Just wait a little bit. All right, who wants the next email?
Peter writes, is there any way to develop on a Nexus 7 Chromebook or Android phone? I consider a platform complete when you can do some cooking of your own stuff, so to speak. I'm probably asking for too much. When thinking of .NET languages on top of or .NET languages on top of the standard set, new Chromebook got me interested, and my search online shows little success and aged blog posts and articles. So I'm going to throw this one over to Jerry, I think.
Okay, cool. I wish I had opened this script earlier. Phil, you can yell at me for that.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, and yes. The Chromebook is the most iffy of the three, believe it or not, because you have to use an online service to host your code and then build it, and you're right. You can't compile C code or anything like that, which you would wish you could do from a Chromebook because it feels and acts like a computer. Your tablet or your Android phone, there are apps in the market, and I'm going to find them, and when we post this podcast, it'll either be in the post or in the comments. I'll have links. You can actually write and build Android applications on your Android phone. Mm-hmm. There are several different apps in the market that allow you to do that. No live testing, but they do work really, really well. I mean, I'm no app developer. I play around a little bit. And for my purposes, they're great. If you're a serious app developer, they're probably not so great, but it's a good start. So I'll make sure I point you to what we've got. And I'm sorry I don't have it prepared now, but I was unprepared.
I'm shaking my head at you for everybody listening at home.
Yes, well, I deserve it. Oh, in the chat room, Skizu Skizaiwism. I can't even pronounce your name.
I'm sorry, who?
A-I-D-E. Psywism? S-C-I? A-I-D-E is one of the apps. I don't even have my Nexus 7 here because I have them installed. But yeah, and it works. It actually does work.
Cool. That's it for emails. Let's do a couple voicemails. You want to start with, how about we will go with Robert?
This is Robert from Glasgow calling for the Android Central podcast. My question actually is about music storage. I have a Samsung S2, but I also have a Zune 120 gigabyte. My problem is that if I move all my music to my phone through Google Music, number one, it's a connection problem because, as I said, I live in Kentucky. And so if I don't have a great connection, a lot of times I can't stream my music. And number two, battery life. If I use my phone for music throughout the day, along with my podcasts throughout the day, it drains my battery severely. Number three, the amount of storage I have. Micro SD card doesn't cut it. So I want to know how everybody else does it, how you all do it. I know Phil talked about his Zune as well. So if you all have any solutions to music storage going from a Zune MP3 player to my phone, I appreciate it. Thanks.
I'll go last because I actually have just been changing up my whole music thing, and I don't want to get yelled at first. So, Jerry, what are you using?
I've got everything in the cloud. I've got, don't listen, Google, I've got two fake Gmail accounts and my Gmail account, so I could put everything in Google Music. And, I mean, yeah, it's a little bit of battery drain, but I don't notice a whole lot extra, and I just jam all day with Google Music.
Hang on a second. I want to clarify that a little bit. So how are you able to then, and this is maybe just a little ignorance on my part, are you then switching accounts in Google Music, or can you have like five signed in at the same time?
I took the time to set it up, and it's like a certain style of music is under one account and a certain style of music is under the other. And in Google Music, I just switch accounts. I pretty much know where to look for it, and now they're probably going to take that away from me, but
That's a good idea.
If you're listening, I'll pay you $100 a year to double my storage. I'll pay you $200 a year to triple it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we still don't have that, do we?
No one does.
Corey, what are you using?
For what? I just moved to forum. I'm sorry.
Corey's back. What do you use for music on your phones? Or are you using your phone?
Honestly, I do everything through Amazon now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amazon's still good?
I was trying to pick between one and the other. Like, I don't really... I mean, I love Google, but I don't really like their media selection, like video selection. So
oh, yeah.
No, I kind of just decided to shift over everything to Amazon.
Alex?
I'm kind of half split between iTunes and Google Music. So,
do you copy over from one to the other?
Utility to sync between iTunes and the cloud, and that just happens automatically.
Yeah. What about you, Mickey?
I'm a train wreck, is what I am. I use iTunes, but I don't really use it because I kind of gave up on managing music. And but I wanted to have a bunch in Google Music, so I picked, like, I don't remember how many it was, 18 or 19,000 of my top songs. I've got like 110 or 120,000 songs. So there's not a service out there that can handle what I have. And so actually, for having access to everything, I just have it on a home server, and then I access it that way. And, basically network-based. But I do have some stuff in Google Music, which I find that I don't use it all that much. I'm pretty much exclusively a Slacker music listener. I've got their premium service, which allows caching, which honestly is a great way to go. And that's, I've gone almost exclusively to caching. And I would highly recommend that if you can figure out a way to get exactly what you want, and you get your stations dialed in and stuff like that, because it doesn't, it doesn't take any more room than storing the music on there. And I don't know, you can refresh them, and you get a lot of the same songs, but then you get some new stuff pushed in there. So so between, I don't know, I sort of quasi use iTunes, which is funny as someone who likes Macs, but I'm just not really a big person.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I have retired my Zune HD, I think.
Using it to hold up one corner of the couch.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of time. And part of it's because Microsoft's been phasing all that stuff out, which makes me sad. But so what I've got is I've got a Galaxy S3. I use Google Music a lot, and I've got it on all the phones. I've got a Galaxy S3 here with a 64 gigabyte card in it. So I started doing that, but I was having connection problems. It's running CM10, and sometimes these builds have a hard time, you know, connecting, especially on a Mac. But I did manage, you know, I've got a whole bunch of music on there, so if I want to play it locally off there, I can. But my other issue is, we've talked about this before, I just really don't like using my phones as media players when I'm on an airplane, because then I get tempted to play with them more and then actually do stuff on them, and then I land and the battery's half dead, and it's just a pain. So I like having that, and, you know, cloud music just doesn't really work in an airplane. So I need to have local storage. I need to have local music. So this week I got an iPod. And the other reason to get an iPod is, yes, I got an iPod.
What? Come on, man.
Well, no, here's the other reason, because I need to actually try and use iOS 6. Yeah, everybody hates me.
What are you, 12? Come on, man.
I got an iPod. I wanted to try it.
What do you need one of those for?
iOS 6, man, like 5 minutes in, I'm just like, oh, it's killing me. I'm pulling down the notification, and the notification shade like hesitates before it opens. And I'm like, oh my God, it's so slow. The notifications are just horrendous compared to Android. And so, like, I'm not ever leaving Android for iOS. Like, nobody worry about that. I'm still curious to use Passbook on here and see if that's any good. But music management for this thing's kind of been a hassle, because I'm having to finally get everything into iTunes. And I keep all my music on network attached storage in the house, and then I've got it on a couple other hard drives too, just in case. And then it's all up in Google Music as well, and a whole bunch of it. I guess I had to resync to Amazon to make sure it's all up in there too, since I've got that ridiculous 100 gigabytes of storage I bought last year and then didn't need 2 months later. So that's what I'm trying right now. I'm trying it. I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm trying it because one of us needs to. So it's
okay.
Me.
But to your credit, though, is that not? I mean, is the hardware just not amazing, though?
Oh, the hardware's awesome.
I mean, and hold that up. I mean, it's, if you look at that, that's what the iPad Mini is. It's unbelievable what they've done with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's typical Apple build quality, and it's awesome.
Crazy.
It's really good. But iOS, it just is not for me. It's just so weird. It's like I'm looking at the app drawer the whole time. And I tell you, Apple's, like, for as good as the iOS icons are, it's just something about it that's so busy now to me, because they're all so intricate with all these shadings and reflections and designs and stuff, and the resolution is so high that it's just busy as hell. And maybe it's just the difference is, you know, that and the way I have my home screen set up, just the way I like it on Android. And, you know, and my home screens are, I only use one, and it's a calendar and then, you know, three folders and a camera and then the dock. And that, for me, that works perfect. It's the way I like it. So I'm not leaving Android anytime soon for iOS. Not happening. You guys not talking to me still. It happens.
Well, in your honor,
yes,
I've got this crappy Galaxy player I bought from one of those one sale a deal things where I picked it up for $90.
Oh, yeah.
I'm charging it up now. I'm going to use it to balance out the world because you're using an iPod.
I think you're thinking. I mean, it's there's no problem with you picking up an iPod to, especially to use it and to realize that it's not for you. I mean that's good. But yeah. I think you're kind of trying to fix this the wrong way. How about an extra battery? Or if you don't have a device that has a removable battery, why don't you just pick up an extra battery pack or something like that, so you just charge it while you're using it, you know?
He has one. He wears it around his neck.
I have so many external batteries right now, and in fact, I just bought a HyperMac too.
But what's wrong with that? I mean, why would you carry around another device to manage and deal with and sync and just put it on your phone and get it, figure out the battery situation? That's the way to go, man.
That would be easier and cheaper. I don't know.
And better. I don't care what kind of device you have. Just stick to that device or put the music on your tablet and keep your tablet charged up if you're going to be using your tablet, or put it on your computer and charge it with the HyperMac. But why add another device? I mean, just bring what you bring normally and figure out the power situation.
It probably does help him write more, right? Like, at least like he has things to compare to.
Well, and that was part of the reason to get it. No, I mean, there's also kind of something in my brain that's just used to having this different device to play music on. I don't know why. And you know, we've talked about it before.
Do you bring along a tom-tom with you and a little cannon point and shoot?
Oh, sick burn. Turn that high.
Seriously.
No, I don't.
That's what I'm saying is you've got a device that's more than capable of taking care of this. And it's probably better because it's one. And again, you're not having to deal with it. You don't have to. You have to bring the extra charger for that because you still have to charge that. It's not helping you out.
So stop, Mickey. Keep going.
I guess my point is it's one thing to try it out, but I feel like you have to be a little careful with going down that road because you'll find yourself looking like me where you walk around with this bag got crazy amounts of stuff in it. And I've had it. I'm done. I'm selling. I can't do this anymore. It's just way too much, you know? So
says the man who kicked off the podcast by saying he needed to get a little prepaid Timo account. So Galaxy Nexus.
You know what? Another phone is not a problem. But if all it does is play music, what are we doing here? You know,
my bag when I work and I'm traveling and stuff usually weighs about 25 pounds. It's pretty heavy.
And you know what?
What?
This little Galaxy Player 3.5 piece of crap. It's really a piece of crap.
And with that, I think we're going to end the bloodshed that is Mickey just bludgeoning me over the head with this damn iPod.
And I'm an iOS fan.
I know.
I can't justify that.
I know. That was painful.
There's more voicemails, Phil.
Oh, damn it. You're right. All right, let's do voicemails. Who are we up to? Thanks, Robert. Thanks, Robert, for your voicemail. That was real helpful.
Yes, Robert.
Yes,
I think we did on our own
the iPod conversation.
Okay. All right, let's do Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Mark from New York. I'm calling for the Android Central podcast. So I finally got the ice cream sandwich update on my Bionic, and it's awesome. But I do have one problem that's a huge problem for me. I've been using Timerific to control the volumes of different things like my ringtone and my notification tone and everything. And so, like, you know, when I wake up in the morning, it goes loud. When I go to work and when I come home, it goes low. And when I go to sleep, it goes off. And I like to have, like, for example, I like to have my ringtone on but low just in case somebody calls me in the middle of the night. But I like my notification tone off because I don't even know if I have an email coming in at 4 in the morning. But for some reason, in Ice Cream Sandwich, they unlinked. They changed the ability to link the ringtone to your notification tone. So if you guys know any way of doing that on a Motorola device, because this problem seems to be specifically to Motorola, I'd love to hear it. Thanks for taking the call.
Is that something that Smart Actions might be able to help with?
You would think so. At the very least, it's probably what broke it.
The Smart Action I played with on the Razer would do just that for him.
I'm pretty sure it would on the ones I've tested.
There you go. Well, try that. Try the Smart Action if you haven't yet. So, cool. Last one from James.
Hey, Android Central crew. This is J2PT0, better known as J2.0. I'm calling for two different reasons. First reason being the guy with his daughter and the desire. One option could always be, if the phone's rooted, to go in and actually delete the dialer. I did that by mistake one time, but it was very effective in keeping me from dialing any numbers. Second thing is, I'm coming up on upgrades here soon. I'm with Sprint, and I'm trying to decide between the LG Optimus G and the Galaxy Note 2. I know both of them are going to be available here next month, and so I'm just trying to get you guys' opinion on which would be a better way to go. I know that internally the Optimus G is a little bit, you know, heftier, but I also really dig that really large screen on the Note. So just give me your thoughts, and thanks. Keep up the good work.
Anybody? Big or gigantic?
What, big or ridiculously big?
That's hard to answer because I don't think any of us here have held both of them side by side for any amount of time.
I think Phil's definitely used both. I don't think he still has both.
Which ones?
The Note 2 and the G.
So they're about the same thickness. Optimus G definitely feels kind of more boxy. It's more, you know, it's definitely squarish. It's pretty, you know, not close on size, but I think it's definitely, you hold it up next to the GS3, so, GS3 is a tad taller. Go hold them both. I mean, you need to play with them both, and this is the global version, so it's actually a little bit different than what you'll get in the States. You really got to spend a little bit of time in the store with them, I think. I don't want to answer that for you. It's...
Especially with a Note, with the kind of device that it is, you need to get it in your hands yourself to work out what it, you know, if it's for you or not. The Optimus G, I guess, is more of a standard phone-sized phone, and you can... You know, it's more a case of specs and hardware and how that works for you. But the Note, you really need to use for yourself to get a good idea of whether that's going to be the device you want to be with or however long. Yeah.
By the way, he mentioned the question from last week about this guy has his son or daughter, I'm sorry, I forget which, using an old phone as like an iPod. Like, you know, my daughter uses an old iPhone like an iPod, right? But the problem is it can still make emergency calls even without a SIM in it. And so the question was, how can you turn that off? And I don't think we've ever gotten so many responses to a question like we did that one. But kind of the overwhelming consensus was, you know, root it, either disable the dialer if you can, or root it and just delete the dialer, you know, straight away. Guess that takes, it was the dialer, the phone app, and one other thing, I forget which. You can use Titanium Backup, I think, will do it too. But that was kind of the overwhelming response. I haven't tried it yet. Jerry, have you tried it?
No, I haven't. Yeah. I'm afraid to call 911 by mistake again.
I don't blame you. And now, I think we're done yelling at me. Any last Google event thoughts? I have a feeling we might well do a podcast on Monday, maybe. If we have time, hopefully. So stick around for that. You guys got any?
From Dulles Airport with a box full of Nexus 4s.
Yeah.
Anything? Phone, tablet, 4.2? Is that it?
Nexus 4 forums. $1 million.
Oh, you know what we didn't discuss? There's going to be some big changes to the Play Store, I'll bet.
Yes.
And those are going to be good. Good changes.
And Corey's right. If you haven't been in the forums lately, you have to go. The Nexus 4 forums, hot. Very hot. The Droid DLA, or D... God, I keep... You don't know how many times I had to write that post the other day.
Jay Butterfly.
I'm trying to call it the DLNA. Butterfly. Yeah, the Droid DNA or DLX. A lot of good stuff in there. A lot of good stuff everywhere, of course. So if you have questions that we haven't gotten to, go ask them in the forums, because there are a lot of really smart people in there and quite possibly better looking as well, and they will help you out. So do that. And with that...
And the million member giveaway.
And the million member giveaway. We still got that going on.
Oh, my God.
We've got that going on. We've got our Gundam style Optimus G giveaway going on. God, what else? Where we have another giveaway. We'll definitely have more coming up with the Nexus.
Are we still doing Nexus 7s? Or is that part of the...
That was part of the... We folded that into the...
Million member thing. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, for that past week. We're giving away so much stuff. Just go to the contest forum. It's all in there. It's way up high in the forum list, so you can't help but find it. So, with that, Mickey, take us home.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us email to podcast@androidcentral.com, or if you prefer to leave a voicemail, 888-468-6158. Type in extension 222 to get there to leave us that voicemail. If you'd like to follow us, you can follow the site on Twitter at Android Central. Phil is at Phil Nickinson. I am at TCPJ_Mickey. Jerry is at GB Hill. Corey is at C Streeter. Alex at Alex Adobe. And you can follow all of the other writers over at Android Central. This show and the entire site brought to you by shopandroid.com. You can also place your orders by calling 888-468-6158.
Woohoo! We'll see you all Monday.
You should have said it was brought to you by Phil's iPod.
Oh, stop it. We'll see you all Monday from New York City. A lot of live stuff. Google streaming it. You can watch it. You can find those other guys. And that's it. We're out. Corey, Mickey, Jerry, Alex, thank you.
Well, wait. You've got something to give away.
Yeah, I'm going to do that in a second.
Okay. I thought you were, like, going to click away.
Nope, that's it. If you're not here live, you don't get to win. So be sure to listen live. So that's it. We're out.
Can you see? Are you able to see anything right now?
Oh, God, it's so bright in here. I got eye drops in that make your eyes real big.
Oh, it's that.
And I got all these monitors going. It's like... I've been drinking moonshine for 2 hours. I'm sweaty and can see really well. But yeah.
You're freaking me out. I had to hide the video. It's scaring me.